Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
The Yankees locker room and clubhouse are despondent. That's the word I heard on the Yankees radio network after the game, reporting from Susan Waldman, who is half of the Yankees play-by-play team, along with John Sterling, who's out of retirement for this express purpose, this run through the postseason. But Susan was down in the clubhouse talking to players, and she was communicating up to Justin Shackle, who anchors the postgame, well, pre and postgame show on the Yankees radio network, which is originating on our New York affiliate. So as I was driving into the office, the report I heard from Justin is that the Yankees are despondent after falling into an 0-3 hole against the Dodgers in Game 3 of the World Series taking place in the Bronx, where they rolled out the red carpet for superstars and dignitaries and entertainers and entertainment. They really started early with the pregame. We're talking about a good 20 minutes from the time the national anthem was played until the time they were even close to first pitch getting guys out on the field. Really cool atmosphere right up until the moment that Freddie Freeman hit his fifth home run in his last five World Series games. Man, what he's been through this season, I'm really happy for him. However, I was hoping the series would go a little longer. Now, I'm not a believer that the series is over. I think just because it's never happened before doesn't mean it can't happen. If you ever have heard the story of the 2004 Red Sox, you know that anything is possible when it comes to baseball. Now, am I telling you it's likely? Nah, not the way the Dodgers are pitching, not the way the Dodgers are taking advantage of their opportunities, but also not the way that the Yankees pitchers are walking guys. Six different runners who were walked by the Yankees pitching in game number 3, the very first one being Shohei Ohtani to start the game. Gosh, of all things, don't you want Shohei to have to make contact with the baseball because he's dealing with a dislocated shoulder? You know he's in pain. And even if the back shoulder is not the one that absorbs the majority of the impact with the ball, I would think you'd want the guy to hit it. Anything to get him feeling those reverberations. And it was a pretty cold night in the Bronx, too. I guess with the real feel is similar to my neighborhood, New Jersey. But with the real feel, the temps were in the 40s. Instead, Shohei walks on the very first at-bat of the game. And then Freddie Freeman, two hitters later, smashes another no-doubter home run. So there's one walk that comes around to score for the Dodgers. And then later, Gavin Lux also getting on board via a walk and then coming around to score with another hit. I think that was the Kike Hernandez. So the walk's coming back to haunt the Yankees pitchers. But certainly the fact that they're batting, I think the number is 186 in three World Series games. Only 7 runs scored so far in this series. And Aaron Judge, you can focus on him, but it's not just Aaron Judge. Of course, they can use anything and everything from his bat. And they have not seen that. Actually, neither he nor Shohei Ohtani have done a ton offensively. Each of them has just one hit. Though Ohtani has been on base and able to score a couple times because of the guys behind him. Judge is right now hitting 140 and had a walk tonight. So he was on base but did not have a hit. Giancarlo Stanton, he's still cranking it out as best he can, going 2-for-4. But I'm not sure who decided to send him or if it was his own choice to send him around third base, a guy who does not run well. And it seemed like if you watch the video that he wasn't even at third when Teoscar Hernandez was fielding the ball and coming up ready to fire to home plate. I had said this about the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night, where you make a couple of mistakes and a good team makes you pay, or you make a couple of mistakes and they come back to haunt you because you don't have a margin for error. Well, that's the case with the Yankees. You're not only trailing 0-2 to start this game, but you already know that the Dodgers are good enough that they're going to make you pay for your mistakes. The Yankees just don't have the same margin for error. And it would be the same if the Dodgers were in an 0-2 hole, right? Both these teams have a killer instinct. Both these teams are the best left standing. And the Dodgers' bats are awakened in a way we did not see going back to the Padres series, which was their first. And remember, Freddie Freeman was missing games too because of the ankle. Now they are, I mean, they're locked in and the hitting is contagious. Not that they had a ton more hits than the Yankees have had, but they're able to capitalize on some opportunities. And if Freddie Freeman is not the World Series MVP, well, then somebody else is going to have to step up in a major way to eclipse what he's done with the 3 home runs so far. Something else I heard from the Yankees clubhouse report is that, and this came from Aaron Boone, that the Yankees were so shocked and thrown off by the way game one ended in LA with the walk-off grand slam for Freeman that they never really recovered. And so Boone was talking about how in game number two, they were still feeling the effects of that, having twice lost the lead. But to have the lead in the top of the 10th and then not be able to protect it and to lose in such a loud and powerful way that reverberates, not just in the sports world, but I've heard it talked about, or I heard it talked about on the news on Saturday and through the weekend. To have it be the shades of Kirk Gibson and Yankees, Dodgers history and lore and all that jazz. To have it be a part of baseball history now. The Yankees felt like they got punched in the gut, took an uppercut to the jaw, and really have not recovered. But you're running out of time now, New York. And while LA won't talk about being one win away, won't talk about or even start to think about what it feels like, what it might feel like, they really are staying away from that and trying to remain businesslike. No team in the World Series has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit. And only a handful, if I remember correctly, there are 24 teams that have taken a 3-0 lead in the World Series, and all 24 have gone on to capture the title. But only a handful, as in five, I think, have ever even forced it to a game seven. So getting to that point where it moved, actually, that can't even be true. I'll have to go back and look at that number, but 24 for 24. That's how many times the team who took a 3-0 lead in the World Series have been able to clinch it and eventually hoist the trophy. We'll get to all the big moments for the Dodgers and some really sweet moments pregame as well in the Bronx hosting its first World Series game in 15 years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I hope that you enjoyed your Monday or that you survived. Maybe you stomped your manic Monday. I've got an update on my viral Hail Mary moment for all the wrong reasons. It went viral for all the wrong reasons. It is hysterical how many people will hop on a mistake or a miscue or a spelling error, for heaven's sakes, on social media. But man, if you say something brilliant and you come up with the most astute observation of your entire career, that's not interesting. What's interesting is when people screw up. It's crazy what happens on social media. People are like vultures. You know those vultures that circle when there's carrion, dead animals, or when they think that an animal is about to die. So there's some kind of a way they can smell when an animal is dying and they start circling then. Vultures. That's what happens on social media. Although I got to tell you, it's been really funny. Many of you are cracking me up with your responses. So you can find me online at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, that poll is still ongoing for another hour. If, of course, you're on the West Coast and it's late on your Monday and you want to do a little polling, well, here you go. The poll is still live and we'll get the TD of the week candidates up and have those ready for you as well. So yeah, I love to connect with you at A-Law Radio or After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. And then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Good to see Shohei Ohtani out there. I'm sure you all noticed pregame when he got introduced, if you were watching the introductions, he was still wearing a sling. So his left arm was essentially as immobilized as they could keep it until he went out there for his first at bat. And then when he got walked and he was on first, now he did not attempt to steal. He didn't have to because he got knocked in by Freddie Freeman. He had a healthy lead out there, but you notice the entire time that he was on base, and they noted it a few times on the broadcast, he's essentially using the shirt and the collar of his uniform and pulling them tight, kind of pulling them down, almost like a little kid who's tugging at his t-shirt and gets in trouble from his mom because his t-shirt collar is going to be all out of whack and deformed. So the whole time he's out there, he's holding on to his jersey and his shirt and kind of pulling them down and tighter to hold his arm up or to hold his arm in place as much as possible. And I also noticed too that after Freeman hit the home run and the two of them are going through the dugout where you normally have two hands up in the air for high fives, he only had one hand up. So he was keeping the other arm close to him. But you probably heard the report from Ken Rosenthal on Fox indicating that even before they left LA, they were on the team. Well, I don't know if there was a team bus or not, but they were all making their way to the airport to get the charter flight because they did a red eye on Saturday night to arrive in New York on Sunday. And as they're heading to the team plane, Shohei Ohtani sent a group text to the entire team indicating in English, "I'm playing in game three," to try to reassure them. So even then, it was a matter of pain tolerance and whether or not he would be able to swing the bat. And then Dave Roberts said on Sunday, hearing him take batting practice, it was thwack after thwack after thwack. It was really loud, so he was putting himself through those paces. But didn't have to swing when he got on base in the first inning. He went via a walk. And two batters later, oh, there's that man again.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, five straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
The call with Steven Nelson on Dodgers radio. Five World Series games in a row, though. Obviously, we're talking about not this series, but going back. And I think it's still worth repeating over again that he hadn't hit a home run since mid-August before this series, before the Grand Slam in the opener, had not hit a home run since August. He'd been in and out of the lineup with that freak high ankle sprain. Gosh, got hit with a foul tip on that same ankle, that same instep later in the game. But what a huge moment to be able to quiet the crowd. And for those of you who have ever been to Yankee Stadium or you've heard about roll call, the roll call was still going on behind the pitcher and out in the outfield. And essentially the fans, they go through every single Yankee that's on the field and they yell and chant and scream their name until that Yankee acknowledges, almost like I'm here, like elementary school roll call. So even as they're going through the top of the first and Clark Schmidt is getting into trouble right away, yeah, the Yankees fans are still fired up from the open and from seeing, was it Fat Joe? I just want to be sure. I knew who it was. I feel really smart. It was Fat Joe out there on the field, and they had Derek Jeter throw out the first pitch, which was really cool. A five-time world champion with the Yankees, and not that we don't see him a lot, but he's kind of like Peyton. He's still around and available all the time. But the fans are going nutso over their first World Series game in the Bronx in 15 years, and then Freddie Freeman hits a home run. And it got deathly quiet inside the stadium. So that was a huge moment for Freeman.
It's just more important to get some runs for Walker so he can settle down and do what he did tonight. He was amazing. Our bullpen's been amazing, but Walker's been pitching big games for a long time, pretty much his whole career, even in college when he was with Vanderbilt. So these lights aren't too big for him, and he came out and did a great job for us.
Walker Buehler definitely did that. His first win since May. In fact, he only has one other win this season because he was in and out of the lineup with injuries and was even away for the team for a long period of time trying to recover. We got that story from our friend Michael Duarte of NBC LA, who is back in New York to take in the World Series and has a special companion with him. Both guests will be here in studio come Tuesday night, regardless of whether or not the Dodgers sweep or win, or if they're headed to a game five on Wednesday. Michael and his very special guest, who will not be named until this time tomorrow, will be with us in studio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Walker Buehler is even better in this game than he was when he pitched in the NLCS. Goes five strong, only two hits. Of course, pitch shutout ball because the Yankees didn't score until the ninth inning. Five strikeouts, including a few that were just nasty pitches. So to get the Freddie Freeman two-run home run accomplished more than just putting runs on the board, it also quieted that Yankee crowd. And I think you could tell from that point on, there was a nervous anxiety in the Bronx. There were a couple of moments where they got loud again. Certainly when Giancarlo Stanton was on base and had the big double before he got thrown out at home, there was kind of this groundswell of noise. I've seen the video. Producer Pete, have you seen the video from behind one of the sections at Yankee Stadium? I think it's on the first concourse. And this is in reaction to Giancarlo. So he's on second base. He has the opportunity, I guess, to advance to third, though the Yankees felt like he might make it home. Maybe Stanton felt like he might make it home. And there is this noise. It's getting louder and louder and louder in the Yankee stands as he's getting closer to third. And then he rounds third and it becomes pretty clear there's going to be a close play at the plate. And fans, I think, were a little nervous. There were a few, oh no. And then he gets thrown out and it's, oh, like it, all in concert. That's, it's pretty incredible.
Sounds about right. That sounds about Yankee Stadium-esque.
Yeah, well, I can understand it. I mean, that could have been a turning point had the Yankees scored it at that juncture and put a run, at least one run on the board, just put one run on the board to be able to have anything going at that point would have been huge. But instead, he gets thrown out. And so that's tough. It's tough to have your hopes kind of squashed out in that moment. But I continue to say how impressed I am with Dodgers pitching. They've had 20 different starters in their rotation this year. And a good maybe a third of their starts in the playoffs so far have been bullpen starts. And we may actually see that in the World Series, bullpen starts. But they make it work. And these guys are going out there. Well, first of all, Dave Roberts and his pitching staff, they're crushing it with their decisions. But also to have each of his pitchers, regardless of what they're used to, regardless of their typical role, they're going out there and they're giving it everything they possibly can. And so for that reason, you feel like they've earned this should it turn out that they win the World Series. And it's more likely now. Should they win this World Series, we're talking about an all hands on deck pitching performance. But yeah, in the bottom of the fourth, when actually, do we have that highlight from the Yankees' perspective? So bottom of the fourth with Giancarlo Stanton on second base after a double. So there's one out, Judge flies out, Stanton's on second base, and then Anthony Volpe hits a single, and Stanton gets waved home, or he decides to go home, or something along those lines. You could probably hear the reaction in the crowd.
2-2 on Volpe. Swung on and lined to left field, and there is a base hit. Stanton rounds third. He's coming home. The throw is in time.
You can hear it.
Good throw by Teoscar, and they did nab him as he came home.
Yeah, definitely can hear the reaction of the Yankees fans behind Giancarlo Stanton, who's he's got injuries, hamstrings, all that kind of stuff. So he's not a runner anyway, but he's always tried to be careful because there have been times in the past where just running has caused him to pull a muscle. So from the defense to the pitching to, of course, the offense, they've gotten 4 runs on 5 hits and 6 walks. So the Yankees generously allowing more Dodgers to get on base. They stand just 1 win away.
Ready, as is Torres, the 2-2 pitch. Bouncer up the middle. Edmund spins, fires, in time! And that's a win for LA! They hang on to take game 3-4-2. They lead this World Series 3-0.
The call was Steven Nelson in an echo chamber. I do not know why the two play-by-play network sounds so different. Yankees, obviously very clear. They're the home team.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But man, Steven Nelson, I hope for Steven's sake and for the Dodgers' sake that they get some clean calls, that they have the series pushed back to LA so that they can be on their own network or their own satellite lines or whatever it is. Unless that's us in our newsroom. What do you think, Producer Pete?
I don't know.
Because there is one computer out there, oh my gosh, this used to drive Producer Jay nuts. One computer out there where if you cut highlights, they come out with an echo. Can we hear it again so people can hear the echo?
Kopech's ready, as is Torres. The 2-2 pitch. Bouncer up the middle. Edmund spins, fires, in time! And that's a win for LA! They hang on to take game 3-4-2. They lead this World Series 3-0.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to hope for Steven Nelson's sake because his final call of the World Series would be played over and over and over. Like the Vin Scully with Kirk Gibson from 1988. It'll be played over and over and over again if the Dodgers win. Oh, dear. So let's see if they can get home so that he can have a clean call. We'll get some more post-game reaction at A-Law Radio. Good to hear from you always. And it was a busy Monday on our social, our Facebook page as well. Game 3 of the World Series and back half of the hour, we've got Steelers and Giants to wrap up Monday Night Football and Week 8 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Betts swings. It's a little flare to right field. Sinking fast. Soto with a deke. He flashed the glove. Here comes Edman racing around third. He'll score without a throw. RBI single Mookie Betts in a 3-0 lead in game 3. Here's the pitch. Ground ball into center field. Base hit. Green light from Dino Evil for Gavin Lux, who makes the turn around third. The throw is late. RBI single Kike Hernandez. Make it 4-0 Dodgers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Dodgers taking advantage of their opportunities and the pitching staff making it stand up until the end, the ninth inning, where Alex Verdugo is able to crank a two-run home run. Will that be enough to spark the Yankees offense? That's Steven Nelson with the call on Dodgers radio, and that home run from Verdugo coming with two outs in the ninth. And so there weren't as many fans left. If you were still watching the game at that point, definitely had more of a mass exodus. And I was thinking about it, actually, if I go to a World Series game as a fan, not working, but as a fan, and my team is losing and the traffic is notorious and it's going to be a mess either getting to my car or if you're taking the train, trying to get to the train and get on one of the first few trains, people are getting out early. Or if you wait until the last out and then you feel like you're stuck and it's a weeknight and you have to get home because you've got work the next day. Still, though, it's a World Series game. And unless you are one of the privileged or you have privilege meaning rich, or you have season tickets so you're able to get the World Series tickets for a little bit less money, I can't imagine leaving one of those games early. I've never been to a World Series game. I've been to championship series games. I've been to other playoff games. Never been to a World Series game because imagine the fire of it and the excitement, the energy is terrific. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Walker Buehler, as we talked about, gets the win in game number 3. It's been a tough year for him away from the Dodgers for quite a while, but we saw him pitch really well in the NLCS and now comes back in the World Series and is able to pitch five scoreless innings.
That feeling of there's an organization relying on me today to win a playoff game, I think is kind of the weight that I like feeling and kind of gets me in a certain place mentally that it's kind of hard to replicate. I'm excited to watch our guys go tomorrow and see what happens. So, I'll be ready if there's a game 7, but my hope is that I don't have to throw anymore.
He was amazing. I think he was the key for us to win this game. He shut down the lineup. And like I always say, he gave us a chance to score some runs early in the game, and we win.
That's Teoscar Hernandez, whose defense helped to keep the Yankees at bay in the fourth. And Walker Buehler, I like how he puts it. If we have a game 7, I'll be ready to go. But my hope is that I don't have to pitch again this year. It's kind of an odd thing to hear. You don't hear that much from athletes. I hope that I don't have to do this again. But you realize we're coming down to the end of the World Series and the baseball season. And I, for one, am okay with that. We can't miss you, baseball, if you never go away. It's been a very long season. But I'm wondering, though, with the ratings and the TV viewership, the way they are skyrocketing over Dodgers, Yankees, and the star power in these two cities that have such great baseball traditions, if people will feel the same way maybe Yankees fans are a little less inclined to be watching games 4 and 5, but they are still in the Bronx. If it gets to a game 5, they're still in the Bronx. So at least there's that, and your stadium is hosting. But I wonder if it turns into a sweep, what people will say looking back. Let's see. Otani. Let's talk about Otani, just because we were mentioning that he was holding his arm, his left arm, as close as he could to his chest the whole time. He wasn't doing high fives with his left arm. When he was out there on base, he was using his shirt underneath his uniform almost as a sling and holding on to it the entire time, and yet he's out there swinging. So Dave Roberts, of course, all the guys were thrilled to have him out there, but he's still dealing with the pain.
I thought he did a really nice job of competing. I don't think that it got any worse. Obviously, just him in the batter's box, starting the game off, getting on base by way of walk, and really appreciate him, posting tonight.
As for the Yankees, they just need hits. I mean, their pitching's not been terrible. They really need hits. Marco Belletti's here in studio. I think the number I heard was hitting 186. Right now in the World Series, we know just the 7 runs. Did you happen to hear the story about Anthony Rizzo and his address to the team before game 3? So he's one of the Yankees that has a World Series ring, going back to his days with the Cubs. And apparently before game 4 of the Cubs Indians World Series at the time, there's this notorious tale out there of how he addressed the team and gave this impassioned speech, but he did it without his clothes on, right? So so he did that, and this was told by Tom Verducci on the broadcast. I know you were here. But apparently Rizzo also addressed the team, the Yankees, before this game. He's kind of leaning into them, calling it a must-win game. He was not buck naked this time. I guess Cubs and Yankees, two completely different clubhouses. But he was he was not unclothed in this particular time. But he was the only one who spoke. He addressed the team. They were really fired up. But then after the game, I heard from the Yankees radio network that, at least according to Aaron Boone, they might still be feeling the effects of that walk-off grand slam in the opener, that they haven't really gotten over it.
They haven't. It's obvious. Watching them, they haven't.
How does that affect your bats?
Look, the Yankees have had issues scoring runs, period.
In the playoffs, for sure.
And they've had monster issues for going back many, many years now in the playoffs.
Yes.
And the biggest culprit is their captain, and Aaron Judge, who hasn't hit a lick in the playoffs in a long time, and they feel the pressure and the vibe of that. Game one was one of the things, as much as you can go, it's game one, come on. The Yankees' advantage that they had, because this is two evenly matched teams in my mind, the one advantage they had was Gerrit Cole. You had to win the two games that Gerrit Cole threw. He was the only true ace on either side that has been that kind of guy. And the Yankees had game one in the palm of their hand, and they gave it away. And you know that in the back of your mind, as much as you say, well, we have to come back from that, we have to battle through that, they know they gave away a game that they can't. And then it turned into Carlos Rodon, who gave them nothing. And their bats went cold, and everything just snowballs, and you're seeing the effects. And as much as you can say, home field can be a great thing for a lot of teams, including the Yankees. Yankee Stadium, when it's rocking, is tremendous. But like any team, when you're not hitting, home field becomes a detriment, and you go into an anxiety-riddled ball of nerves, and the entire stadium feels it, and they feel it. Every single guy at the plate. And Freddie Freeman put him behind the eight ball with a two-run shot in the first, and you saw every guy come to the plate with everybody in the stands with almost like a, please? And that's not good.
It felt scared.
That's
not good.
It
felt a little nervous.
And everybody in the lineup feels scared. Everybody in the stands feels scared. And everybody, and I said it the night when the ball landed, when Freddie Freeman hit it out in the grand slam that night.
Has it landed?
I'm telling you, those types of moments can leave you 4 games later scratching the back of your neck going, what the hell just happened? And that's exactly what this series looks like. It looks like the Dodgers took full control, grabbed it, and they're flying high. Everything they do is perfect. And the Yankees, it almost seems like they're turning and looking at each other going, wait a minute, we couldn't, and that's it. And then you go home.
So Anthony Rizzo gave, I don't know if it was a pregame speech, but it was in between games 2 and 3, and now he's the one that's trying to find the inspiration.
It's not going to be easy, for sure, but we gotta pull some inspiration from somewhere. So it's happened before, teams come back before, and it's going to stink tonight, but tomorrow when we show up, we'll be ready to play.
Hopefully we can you know, go be this amazing story and shock the world. But right now it's about trying to get a lead, trying to grab a game and force another one and then on from there. But we got to grab one first.
It is interesting that two guys who have, well, in Anthony Rizzo's case, he was part of the Cubs coming back and winning a series in which they were trailing 3-1. And they ended up winning three straight games after that, right? So he's part of that. And also Aaron Boone has one of the most iconic moments in Yankees postseason history. Not that it was a World Series, but he's got that moment from 2003. And those are the guys who can speak to miracles can happen if you can get one at a time.
Yeah, no, it's about getting one game, and that's how you go about this. But I will say this, and I implore the Yankees, I can't stress this enough. 2 years ago, they were down 3-0 in the ALCS to the Astros, and they were dumb enough to show a video of the 2004 Red Sox to try to give them inspiration to come back from 3-0 down. If you do that again, I think I could personally go down to Yankee Stadium and try to talk to some people. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, and it wouldn't shock me, as stupid as this organization is
at times. Come on, that can't be true.
I'm not making that up.
Are you serious?
That was for inspiration, to show that it could be done.
Against you?
Well, in their mind, it's 20 years later. It's not against the same players, which is true. Oh, none of the players are the same, but still, the uniform is the same.
That sounds demoralizing, actually.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, I'm assuming they've learned from this folly, I hope. Can they come back from this? No. Is it going to be, you know, this series ends Tuesday night. There's no way they're coming back from this series, but there's no reason to show the 2004 Red Sox.
No,
you want to hold it.
Do that.
You want to hold it in the back of your mind that it's been done before. Go ahead. Maybe that makes you feel better. But don't go through the way it happened, because that's only worse. That's the only thing worse. Because imagine the players.
I would think you'd show Aaron Boone's home run.
Well, that doesn't help either. That series was back and forth.
The Cubs rally.
Nothing. There's nothing you could show. If you need inspiration at this point, I don't know what to tell you.
I wouldn't show anything with Aaron Boone, because you can make the case that he sucked the life out of this series for the Yankees in game one.
Oh, ouch. Okay, no, you guys are, wow.
Look, if you need inspiration in the World Series because you don't want to go home and get swept, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
I agree with that part.
And I don't care. Anthony Rizzo, you need to be clothed or not clothed. You guys need to talk to each other. You got to do whatever you got to do. But you can't show
the
2004 VHS of the Red Sox. Please stop, okay? Stop.
Don't do that. All right, coming up, we're going to pivot to Monday Night Football a little bit, because Russell Wilson, game two for the Steelers, even looks better than game number one. And they hit the bye at 6-2. Wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Today we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life electronic device and pet health insurance. Dodgers looking to move a little closer to their second World Series title in the last 5 years.
Kopech's ready, as is Torres. The 2-2 pitch. Bouncer up the middle. Edmund spins, fires in time, and that's a win for LA. They hang on to take game 3-4-2. They lead this World Series 3-0.
4-2 final with the call courtesy of the Dodgers Radio Network. Freddie Freeman, a 2-run shot. He has homered in all 3 games thus far. Mookie Betts, Kike Hernandez each knocked in a run, while Walker Buehler fired 5 scoreless, led just 2 hits. Bombers mustering 5 hits all night as LA will go for the sweep Tuesday night. Monday Night Football, the Steelers able to separate in the second half.
5-man rush, shotgun snap, arching spiral pass near side. Over the shoulder catch, goal line. Touchdown. It's Calvin Austin with his second touchdown tonight. Pass by Russell Wilson, 29-yard arching spiral, and the Steelers build on their lead early in the fourth.
Calvin Austin, a 29-yard touchdown catch to go along with his 73-yard punt return for a score. Steelers withstood the Giants 26-18. Kevin Harlan to call Westwood 1. Russell Wilson threw for 278 in that score. Najee Harris, 114 yards rushing as the Steelers are now 6-2. Off the field, good news for Jordan Love. His groin injury, not expected to have him sidelined long-term. Hopes to be able to go Sunday against the Lions. Taking a look at the NBA, where the Suns took out the Lakers 109-105 behind 30 from Kevin Durant. Kings rocked the Blazers 111-98. Celtics raced the Bucks 119-108. Nuggets able to outlast the Raptors 127-125 in overtime. Nikola Jokic, 40 points, 10 boards. Heat too much for the Pistons, 106-98. Cavs bounce the Knicks, 110-104. Magic handle the Pacers, 119-115. As Paolo Banchero poured in 50 with 13 boards and 9 assists. Mavericks over the Jazz, 110-102. Utah also lost Taylor Hendricks for the year, fractured leg and a dislocated ankle. Rockets handle the Spurs, 106-101. Bulls top the Grizzlies, 126-123. And the Wizards up in the Hawks, 121-119. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Austin's got it, runs from the near side of the field to the far, breaking a tackle, 30, far sideline, 40, far sideline, 50, flag is down, he's on the 40, got a block, 30, far sideline, 20, 10, chase to the 5, touchdown on a punt return for the Pittsburgh Steelers! 74-yard return to take the lead late in the third over the Giants.
Now Freiermuth will move a little closer in and will be in an H-back position to the left. Giants bringing pressure. Wilson lofting. Wilson has a man out there. It's a second touchdown for Calvin Austin.
Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful throw to the flag. Calvin Austin beating the pants off of his cover man and able to turn it as he crossed over the goal line and then turned towards that flag. That ball was already in the air, arced in, and dropped just like a hovercraft. That is just a sensational throw by Russell Wilson.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
We were raving about Khalif Raymond of the Detroit Lions with a punt return touchdown as well as a touchdown catch for the Lions in their victory. Well, they 52 points, and he accounted for a pair of touchdowns and a career day for Raymond. I think he had 190 return yards, which is incredible. Well, how about Calvin Austin? His first punt return for a TD comes in the third quarter when the game is tied at 9. And you hear that one on Westwood One with the great Kevin Harlan. And then his second career touchdown catch in the fourth quarter to be able to add to the Steelers' lead. And they needed all of those points to hold off the Giants, plus some terrific defense in the final minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Second start for Russell Wilson. And you can see that he's got a much better rhythm. We'll hear from him as well as Mike Tomlin coming up. But yes, the Steelers offense in the past 2 weeks, it's a lot better. Fourth in the NFL in total yards. And so they're averaging better than 400 yards for the past two games. Their yards per pass attempt are up. Their yards per rush are up. The number of plays that have gone over 10 yards is actually tops in the NFL. And so as much as Mike Tomlin was going out on a limb, and it was maybe unpopular to switch from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson, it has worked so far. But you always need the defense when you're the Steelers. And with 3 minutes to go, they were leading by just 8 points, and the Giants are knocking on the door to the red zone.
Snap back to Jones, looking, and has the ball batted away and recovered by T.J. Watt. Strip sack, recovery, Steelers ball. Tremendous turn of events late in the fourth quarter at Acrisure Stadium.
I'm not surprised by it, but it doesn't mean that it's not appreciated. I just come to expect it because he's got unique talent. He's got a unique approach. And so usually that produces unique results with a really consistent tone to it and usually at the most timely moments. And so, you know, I think the new Steelers are shaking their heads. I think the guys that have been here kind of expect it.
Mike Tomlin on the heroics of T.J. Watt. A couple of sacks, two extra quarterback hits. He forced that fumble and also recovered that fumble. And then a big game from linebacker Alex Highsmith, who's just returned from injury. This is his second game back. But a couple of sacks for him, a bunch of pressure, six more quarterback hits. Well, all he wanted to do was talk about Calvin Austin after the game.
Went up to him after he scored a touchdown and said it was a matter of time, and I knew he was going to get it soon. He's a guy who comes in every day. He works his butt off. You know, he's humble. He's level-headed, and he's a great dude. And so, seeing him get those two touchdowns today, and especially that punt return, was awesome. And that's just huge for him. And so, I'm happy for him. And he's a heck of a player.
So Russell Wilson obviously starting a lot faster for the Steelers in this one. Remember, he had a pretty rough first quarter in their last game against the Jets. And Mike Tomlin was talking about him shaking off the rust. But 20 for 28 in this one with 278 yards, a touchdown, though he did get sacked four times.
He didn't need to warm up to it, you know, a little less rust than the week before. But I'm not surprised by his capabilities.
It's good to see that Russell was able to connect with guys like George Pickens, as well as Van Jefferson. One really sweet toss to Van along the sidelines. He's kind of fallen out of bounds. And then we've talked about Calvin Austin, a handful of different targets for Russell, spreading the ball around. And then for Najee Harris, another game over 100 yards. The Steelers rushed for 167 as a team. And while they settled for field goals many times, they go 0-for in the red zone. Between the defense and Calvin Austin's big night, they're able to get this win and move to 6-2 in the AFC North. We'll talk to Missy Matthews from Pittsburgh coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.